What do you call two guys that were there when this happened?
Back to return at Spurlock. Michael Spurlock at the 10. He's to the 20. He's to the 25. Spurlock 30 to the 40-yard line. We could see history. 50, 40 to the 30-yard line. Run, Michael. Run, Michael. Run, Michael. Run. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. There you go.
And that.
Shotgun set. Three receivers left. Here's the snap, and the blitzer is picked up. Brady underneath. Caught ball, Evans. He has the record at the 11-yard line. Mike Evans becomes the first NFL player in league history to record 1,000 yards or more in his first seven seasons, and what a throw by Brady. Congratulations, Mike Evans.
Who can forget?
Gannon looking, Gannon throws up the middle. That's intercepted at the 30. Derrick Brooks, 30. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Derrick Brooks, the most valuable player in the National Football League. There it is. The dagger's in. We're going to win the Super Bowl.
Here's the snap. Mahomes running to his right. Look out. He may run. Mahomes directly. Oh, toward the end down. Battle. Intercepted. Picked off at the end zone. Bucks are going to beat the Chiefs. We're the champions of the world, and we still have a minute 33 to go. Devin White. What a great second season. That's it for KC. Bucks are the Super Bowl champs. They can't stop the clock.
We call them the Salty Dogs.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Salty Dogs podcast. I think we're going to enjoy this one a lot. I'm Scott Smith.
I'm Jeff Ryan. We're the Salty Dogs. I know.
Just jump in and steal my line.
I am. I'm in that kind of mode today.
Great. Mm-hmm. I thought we were going to have a good time. Now I don't.
Well.
If you're going to be acting like this.
Yeah, get ready.
Oh, jeez.
All right.
But we're in a great mood, right?
We are.
Is there a better feeling than the Bucks beating the Saints in New Orleans?
Oh, no. There's nothing better than that. It just warms my heart.
I mean, I feel like everybody on the bus and the planet for that, anytime it happens, is just like, I mean, this will keep me flying for days.
Well, the best part about it is that, you know, they do this little snarly stuff on the video boards, like New Orleans is known for Florida. And it got kind of, I thought it kind of a little personal, little heavy digs on the Tampa Bay area. And so.
Like what? Give an example.
Well, like, you know, the food, you know, New Orleans is all about the food. Then they're kind of like, a Cuban sandwich is, you know, I'm like, come on.
Cuban sandwich is pretty great.
I think so, too. And, you know, that's variety. That's what New Orleans is known for, is food that
has a lot
of variety.
It's kind of hard to compete with New Orleans.
Well, that's true. That's true.
But that doesn't mean Cuban sandwiches are bad.
No, absolutely not.
They're great.
Yeah. But what I love the best about it, out of the whole thing, was how the fans left so early. It was great.
Yeah.
No matter how much crowd noise they create, it wasn't there.
We did have some procedural penalties, though. Which we didn't admit. Well, they weren't all procedural penalties. That was a lot of penalties.
But I still, I don't know. I want to do some research.
Get yourself fined.
I know. I'm catching myself. Okay. You know how I feel about that. I already said that to you off the air before we got
okay,
on.
Okay, a couple things here.
Why don't you give everybody what the email address is?
Well, I will, but first, we do not have a guest this week because it's the bye week.
Sure.
And there's nobody around.
Mm-hmm.
But we do kind of have a guest. Our guest this week is the listeners because we have a whole lot of questions in the inbox.
Oh, nice.
So you listeners out there, you're our guest this week. We'll get to that at the end and now and moving forward, anytime you want to send us a question, which increasingly more people are doing, or sometimes they're not questions. Sometimes, like in this case, several of them just want to say how great it was watching the Bucks beat the Saints.
Oh, yeah.
And why.
Well, I can't read enough of those.
Yeah. Well, that part will be fun. So send us questions at saltydogs@buccaneers.nfl.com.
It's pretty amazing, though. What is it now? Four games in a row or three games in a row? Todd Bowles has beat the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, that's the longest streak we've had against them in the regular season.
And we broke their, 11-game streak of over 20 points?
Allowing 20 or fewer points.
Yeah, that's so nice.
It was fun.
It was great.
So I like to start out by asking you what's your favorite thing, but I think you already told me.
Well, I didn't. I will tell you my favorite thing was the post-game meal and the grilled oysters.
I never grab them. I just don't feel like eating oysters on a bus.
They're so good.
I had oysters on Saturday night.
Well, see, that's the difference. You go out Saturday night and get it and... Mm-hmm. I know they're going to be there, so I wait.
I had oysters and some really good shrimp and grits type dish.
Oh.
What's all this all of a sudden beef debris? Have you ever heard of beef debris before?
No.
Okay, so this dish had some like shredded beef in the middle of it, but they call it beef debris. And then at the stadium, the halftime meal.
Yeah.
They also had beef debris.
Well, I just thought it was shredded beef.
It is. Why is it suddenly called beef debris? Did somebody blow up a bomb in the middle of the...
Oh, don't say that.
Beef? And then they just picked up the debris?
I blew up my beef. No, I think if you call it beef debris, is that what it's called?
Yeah, D-E-B-R-I-S,
debris. I think you can raise the prices on a fancy name like that.
Well, they did it. They were giving away the food in the press box.
Yeah.
I didn't have any.
Uh-huh. Nice.
But I did have the shrimp and grits, and it had some beef debris and a really good butter sauce. It was fantastic.
I had a nice shrimp po' boy also.
Oh, that's a good call.
And some gumbo.
All right.
You know.
So you did some. You hit some of the hits.
Yeah. You gotta
play the classics.
Yeah. You got to go in and get that a little bit.
I have on multiple occasions done Mexican when we've gone to New Orleans.
You know what? Dave Moore and I found a Mexican restaurant off of Bourbon Street, and I don't think it held 18 people. It was that small.
Yeah.
But it was really, really good. But I can't remember where it is. You know, when you walk up Bourbon Street, there's so many side streets.
Looking for the right hole in the wall.
Yeah,
you won't get the wrong one.
But see, that's the beauty of it. You just go off the beaten path and you'll find something.
All right. So did you tell me then what your favorite thing
yeah,
was?
No. Post-game meal is my favorite
post-game
thing.
Meal. Yeah. So it's from where? Drago's?
Yes.
I don't think I've had, because I never grab it, because I'm usually running at the very last minute to get on the bus.
Have you gone to Drago's restaurant? Very good.
But they're char-grilled oysters.
Yes.
Now, I like my oysters raw.
Yeah, so do I. These are charred, boiled.
Char-broiled.
But they put it's kind of cheesy. It's more
so
cheesy.
Like a Rockefeller type of thing?
Yeah.
Except no spinach?
Right.
Well, that sounds good. I just don't know if the texture, how would I feel about the texture?
Yeah.
You know, because I like the oysters when they're raw. And
you got to take the bread, which kind of looked like Cuban bread to me.
But, mm-hmm.
You know, you take that bread and you put it on there
okay.
And then you dip this and then it's like, whoa.
That sounds like it's difficult to eat on a bus.
It's not easy, but it was well worth my efforts. Out. Yes.
All right. So I got a couple things here for that.
All right.
I think maybe my favorite thing was watching the Superdome fading into the distance as we left with our victory and knowing I don't have to be back there
for a year.
I mean, unless it's weeks 1, 2, or 3, we've got at least a year before I have to go back to the hellhole.
That's true. That's true.
They changed their elevators and somehow it's no better than it was before.
No. Time out. The elevator is better. There's two of them now and they're larger.
They weren't much larger.
They were large enough for us to put two cases in at the same time,
right?
Correct, which we had to wait. Now, it is kind of funky how you got to whip around it, but no, they did a nice improvement on the elevator.
I don't know. I still felt like I had to wait forever, and then it was jam-packed, so the experience
that's because you're going to the seventh floor, and there's a lot of people getting on that elevator from the ground floor, stopping at the lower floors.
I was talking mostly about coming down.
Oh, yeah. Well, that always takes forever.
And because I know there's no way. And also, the visitor's locker room, which used to be in the end zone, they made a club out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now the visitor's locker room is approximately 1,000 miles away from that elevator.
And you really
can. And you can only go one direction. And it's the longer direction. They won't let you go the other way.
No, if you go right, that's because that's where the Saints locker room is, and they don't want you near
there. Yeah, I mean, like you can't walk past their locker room.
And then they have some kind of.
You can walk past
the
visitor's locker room in our stadium.
Yeah, they have some kind of lounge there, too.
But
no, you can't walk past our locker rooms unless you have a restricted
Well, the
pass.
Media the media gets off the elevator and walks past the visitor's locker room to get to ours. Anyway. I said, other than that bit of complaining, I think maybe, and we're going to talk about Antoine Winfield a little bit more here in a bit, but he had an incredible game, obviously.
Oh.
He had there was a series of three plays, I believe it was early in the third quarter, where on the first play, he makes a tackle of Alvin Kamara 6 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm. Which kind of gets overlooked.
And then,
not by you, though.
Well, that helped us get to third and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And on third down, they're throwing the Carr uncorks. I guess probably his longest throw of the game.
It was.
And it was the line of scrimmage was a 50, so he was probably throwing from about the 45, and the ball came down 3 or 4 yards deep in the end zone, and Antoine Winfield got there in time to knock it away.
Yep.
And I don't think necessarily that Antoine. For all that he's known for, I don't think he's known for being like one of the fastest guys. I mean, he's fast,
mm-hmm.
but you know, you think of like Zion McCollum's really fast,
right.
Jamel Dean's really fast. You just think of Antoine as a great player. But I was doing some stuff with NextGen today, and he got up to 20.5 miles per hour on that play, which was the third fastest that any guy on our team ran, and the fastest by any defender in that game.
He's sneaky fast.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
And so,
but he also understands the game and watches tape, and he seems to always have the angle.
Well, the what I'm trying to get at is they obviously had to be playing him somewhere near the line of scrimmage on first down, because he couldn't get all the way from free safety up there to make a tackle 6 yards deep.
Right.
But then on the third down, he's playing middle of the field free safety, and you can trust him to make plays back there too. Those plays on the field were about 57 yards away from each other in the span of three plays, mm-hmm. and he made them both.
Yeah. It
was incredible.
Well, you know, it's kind of like when you talk about a running back, Kamara, I believe that's who had the ball, and on the 1 yard line, and comes out, and Winfield makes a basic, you know.
No, it was their fullback, Adam Press.
Adam Press, okay, holding, you know, your job is to hold the ball, and he basically did, except Winfield, punched it out, which was, that's a big play. From
Huge.
The 1 yard, well, even before that, instead of being on the 20 yard line, it was on the 1 yard
right.
line. That was a big play.
The fans in the stands really did not like that.
No,
call.
They didn't like that at all.
In case you didn't watch or don't remember, the only real negative play that Baker made was that one interception when it looked like we were going in to score right before halftime. And I think he described it, it's exactly what I saw. That play would have had a shot. He tried to get the touch on it, and just he needed to throw it about 4 or 5 yards further.
Yeah.
It just came in too short. But Godwin was behind the defender, not by much, mm-hmm. but he might have had a shot at an over-shoulder to catch. Mm-hmm. So, one bad throw. And you're like, we lost a scoring opportunity. It's only going to be 7-3 going into the halftime. And then they try to run it out from the one, and Winfield gets us the ball back, and then the great Trey Palmer catch.
Yeah.
Huge part of the game.
How does he make those catches?
Trey Palmer?
Yes.
I'm not going to be throwing stats at you the whole time, especially not next-gen stats.
You love to throw stats out there.
Baker completed 25 passes in that game, and according to next-gen stats, that one was the least likely one to be caught. It only had a 22.8% chance. Like, you put every player in that situation, mm-hmm. exact situation, it's caught 22.8% of the time.
What would that be, one out of every four times?
A little less than one out of four.
Okay. See how I did the math.
But he
there?
Seems to be making those plays on the regular.
Yeah.
He hasn't had a ton of volume, but if you take it back to the preseason, he tends to make one big, really impressive catch in almost every game.
Yeah. So, there are impressive catches throughout that game. Chris Godwin going across the middle was a nice catch,
that was,
a nice run.
It was more of an impressive play overall.
Yeah.
You're trying to run through all my topics all at once, man.
I'm just kind of, you know. I'll just follow your lead.
You're taking me away from Winfield.
Okay.
And I don't want you to do that.
All right.
Because he's rapidly, as long as he's playing, Lavonte David is probably going to be our favorite player.
Sure.
But Winfield is rapidly gaining on him for me.
He's in his last year of his contract, if I'm not mistaken.
You are not mistaken. We need to get that one done.
Yeah.
But I was saying to somebody during the game, or maybe it was a tweet, that he's everywhere. And that it's talking about Lavonte. Every now and then you have a game where you're like, are there 254s in this game? Because he is everywhere. I can remember a game like that in Atlanta a few years ago. And that's what Antoine was like with his 9 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, sack, forced fumble, fumble recovery, passes, 2 passes defensed. I think just 1 pass defensed. 2 tackles for loss, I already said that. But just, he's all over the field.
Right.
And that's the kind of defender that team architects are really looking for these days. When they draft guys like... it hasn't really worked out, but like Isaiah Simmons or somebody like that. When they draft a guy like that, they think they can use all over the place, like Jalen Ramsey or something like that.
Right.
It's a special kind of weapon to have on defense, and it's not easy to do. And it's just nice that Antoine is developing into that. And I like it. I like seeing him do so well because for 2 years in a row now, when we've made, like, we'll do articles in the summer about like bold predictions for the upcoming season.
And you predicted he was going to have a breakout year?
First team AP All-Pro.
I do remember that.
He's gotten a couple votes the last couple years, but probably those were from Tampa sports writers. But if he continues on the pace he's going on now, I mean, how many safeties in this league are playing better than he is right now?
I don't think there are.
I don't know. I'm trying to rack my brain from what I've seen. I don't get to see all the games, obviously.
Well, let's put it this way. He's made a couple of great plays in all the wins that we've had.
So he's a big key to victory for us.
That's what I'm going to say. Is that pretty close?
I mean,
would you concur?
It's fine. It's a good statement. If you're trying to stump for him to get votes for All Pro, it doesn't really help a whole lot.
Okay.
You're just basically saying he's done good.
He has. What do you got?
I don't know, man. I was just seeing if there's anything connected with that before I move on. I really thought we'd be a little bit more upbeat here. I mean, come on. We're coming off a win over in New Orleans.
Scott, don't get too high. Don't get too low. We got to stay, you know.
Yeah, well, you can get too
almost,
high. It's the bye week.
Almost. I will say this.
Can't we extend the 24-hour rule to like 72
hours? No, you can't extend.
3-1
is so much better going into the bye than 2-2. And it's only a game, but that is a huge swing because it was an NFC Division South game. And now we are 1-0, and they, being the Saints, are 1-1 in the South.
They beat who, Atlanta?
I think they beat Carolina. Carolina's 0-4.
Oh, Carolina.
So I think they beat Carolina. So, and everybody else faltered during Sunday, so it certainly helped out for the Buccaneers to win the game.
Yeah, so the Bucs win over New Orleans is the only win by an NFC South team in the last 2 weeks.
Wow.
How about that?
That's a great stat, right?
Because last week everybody lost.
And considering that the way everyone projected the way the Bucs would start the first quarter of the season, so far they have not been accurate.
New Orleans beat Carolina 20-17 in week 2.
Right. And you only have like 3 more wins to go to beat the odds of how many wins the team is going to have this year.
Would they have it as 5.5?
I think it was 6.5 wins.
Well, then we need 4 more.
Oh, okay. Well, yes. Or 3 wins and a tie.
To match it, though, that's just a push, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here's a big – well, first of all, before we get into specifically into Baker Mayfield, this came up a little bit on Monday, but it was already, I think, a topic. I know I tweeted about it at one point during the game. That was some interesting play calling.
It was great play
calling. By Dave Canales.
I loved it.
I mean, there was a lot of different stuff going on.
There was a lot of surprises.
Chris Godwin threw a pass.
That's what I'm saying.
We had a shovel pass? When's the last time we had a shovel pass? I like shovel passes around the goal line.
Yeah. When they work, they're great.
It didn't work for us, but the Godwin one play didn't work either, but it was close. What else? There was some other really interesting stuff.
Well, I think Todd said it best. You know, he kind of loves how it was being mixed up, and mm-hmm. you know, everyone's has been saying since, well, not everyone, but people have been saying, well, the offense is a little bland. It's really vanilla. It's, well, you know, you're only in the first few weeks. And what I keep finding interesting with Dave Canales is that he keeps saying, you know, we have to learn the core pieces of our offense, and then we can start adding the wrinkles.
It makes sense.
It does make sense.
It's kind of the same situation as 2020, but there's no – with Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady was great, but – you rolled into that season not knowing what's going to work best.
Right.
And it honestly did take several months. We won plenty of times.
Sure.
But until the offense really started clicking was what, late November?
Yeah, because I think you were 7-5 and everybody was getting nervous.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then after that, it was just great. So mm-hmm. that makes total sense that would happen.
Yeah.
That you'd take some time to have to figure out what you do best and then what can you do off of that.
And I get the feeling, and just because of the different interviews I've been around with players, that there's a connection there. With the new coaches, the new offensive guys. I mean, there's a lot of new offensive players too, but there's just this connection of, and I don't like the term buy-in, but it's more like, hey, this is kind of fun, and they also have a little bit of a voice because as a player, they get to say, oh, you know, we see this, we see that, and so I think the inclusiveness is starting to show.
Okay, that's a new one on me. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. I know this is because, like, talking with – we had Devin Tompkins on yesterday. It's on Buccaneers.com, Bucs Total Access.
Okay, cool.
With Casey and Ellie Marpet.
Oh, nice.
As the hosts. And he was talking about that. He was also talking about Brad Izick, how great he is with the guys and how he can relate to him.
That's good.
Because closer to age.
Well, good. I also liked what Dave Canales said in his press conference on Monday, that the ball finds energy.
Yeah.
Sometimes you hear a coach say a line, you're like, that's a good line.
Yeah.
You need to explain to us what the heck that means, though. It was kind of like, I'm paraphrasing, when you run good routes, when you run your routes hard, when you're explosive in and out of your breaks, the quarterback takes notice. The quarter, you jump out to the quarterback, and you're going to get the ball more often. So the ball finds energy. That was pretty cool, huh?
Absolutely. And I don't know. It's a nice build up. It's a nice start. You know, the thing about the Saints, and everyone kind of, you know, it was kind of a lopsided score, but the Saints have a pretty good defense.
They have a great defense.
Yeah. So I take this as a really strong win.
Well, I'm glad you take it as a
Well, because, win. You know, if you look at the Bears, is everybody going, oh, wow, you beat the Bears. Everybody's not clamoring for that. I think they're up to 15 straight losses right now.
Yeah, but you got to take care of business in those games.
Yeah.
You can't feel bad because they're maybe not in their best spot. Dallas did not take care of business in Arizona.
Correct. And that's the thing is you play who's on your schedule. Quit worrying about
it. And you don't mess around and drop the ones you need to get. I mean, we had to play Philadelphia, who's, you know, the defending NFC champions, and on that night they were clearly the better team.
Yeah, I was disappointed because I didn't think the team that the Bucs played their game.
It was clearly our least competent game.
Yeah.
But
what a great rebound, though.
Yeah, and so you take that loss, but then you got to win the games you should win, like Chicago, or it's going to snowball.
Yeah, and everybody kind of the fact that you played Monday night, you didn't play it the way you wanted to, so you lost, and then you traveled and you won. That's pretty strong. I want to know the stat. You're Mr. Stat Guy. What is the
lose
stat?
Lose on a Monday? What's
lose
next?
On a Monday, and then if you win
well,
the
you
next day.
You can't ask me in the middle of the thing.
I understand that.
Unless you want some 15 minutes of silence while I look it up.
This is called, we're going to talk about
well,
that
write
next
it
week.
On the board so
All
I
right.
remember.
Write it. He's got a big board in here, too.
I don't think people are taking notice of how unbelievably good Baker Mayfield has been on third down so far.
Yeah.
He came into the game, leading the NFL in passer rating and completion percentage on third down plays.
Okay.
That's awesome. It was already like 119 pass rating, something like that. Then he was the best he's ever been in this one. 6 of 7 for like, I don't know, 80 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, and a pass rating like 153.8.
Uh-huh.
No, that's 153. It's around 153 point something because it's close to the maximum, which is 158.3, which is weird that that's the maximum. But he's just making so many plays on third downs, and they're not always just simple.
Right.
I mean, you brought it up, the Chris Godwin play that in some ways kind of put the game away.
Right.
Because the Buccaneers were up only 1 touchdown and facing 3rd and 7 at the Saints 47. So if you don't get that, if you get some yards, maybe you can kick a field goal, but it's a little risky.
Mm-hmm.
You may be punting from around midfield with 4 minutes to go and only up a touchdown. Now, the way that game was going, I probably still would have felt good about our defense being able to get the stop.
Right.
But still, you want to put the game away. And on 3rd and 7, Chris Godwin runs a pivot route, which means he goes up a little bit, cuts to the left towards the sideline, and then turns his body towards the quarterback and goes back quickly across the middle of the field.
Right.
At the same time this is happening, Carl Granderson and Brian Bresee, I don't know how it's pronounced, are getting really close to taking Mayfield down. They both got a pressure on him, and he's moving around a little bit. He has to throw the ball kind of – it's almost like a little bit of a jump throw. Like he has to throw from an awkward position, and it comes out a little bit wobbly, but it's right on target, and it hit – he found Godwin. Godwin said – I asked him after the game because – it looked like a pivot route to me. I'm like, but then the coach said something about how Chris had done a little bit, had altered the route a little bit to help out Godwin. I mean, to help out Mayfield because he knew he was under duress.
Mm-hmm.
So he changes his route a little bit and gets in position, and then Mayfield finds him. And then, of course, he runs for another like 30 yards all the way down to the 5. That wasn't an easy play by any stretch.
No.
And he threw the touchdown passes to Tompkins right after that and to Cade Otton, which is another play where he was under a lot of pressure, were both on third downs.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't get either of those, you're kicking field goals. That's 8 less points, right?
Right.
Maybe, well, we went for 2 after the Tompkins one. So it's like a touchdown less, and you're you're not as comfortable. You're only up one touchdown instead of two.
Right.
And so they don't have to be quite so desperate. They were down two touchdowns and had to be desperate, and that's how we got the next drive. Three incompletions that weren't particularly close, and then the sack by Vita Vea on fourth down, and then they bring in Jameis, and he's picked off on his first throw.
Right.
And to build on top of that, in addition to that almost perfect passing on third downs through the first month of the season, he's also frequently been running for necessary yards on third downs.
Unreal.
He's converted several third downs. He converted several third downs in that game with scrambles. And on another occasion, he scrambled enough that it got us into field goal range for that 51-yard field goal. So his third down production, both with his arm and his legs, has been amazing. And I don't feel like anybody's talking about it.
No. Because they don't know about our team yet. That's basically the reason for that.
We were talking about,
you know, I mean, he has been extending drives, and that wasn't
on a regular basis.
Correct. Correct.
And I don't think, like, weren't we talking last week about sort of how the absurdity of all these power ranking stories?
Which
I agree with. Yes, they are silly, but on the other hand, everybody reads them, so I don't blame writers were writing this, but somehow, I'm not going to name the site because I really, really like this site and I don't want to sound like I'm ripping on it, but they also have a quarterback ranking.
Yeah.
Which, given how the narrative around Baker was coming into the season, you won't be surprised to know they had him ranked 29th.
Sure.
Last week, he was up to 24th with, five spots right. After two really good games. Mm-hmm. After this last game, he dropped a spot.
Yeah.
How's that possible?
Because they don't understand it, and they're begrudgingly going to say he's not going to perform. Now, if you watch...
You know what? I might be reading this wrong. That may be from week 3 to 4, so after the Philly game, he dropped a spot.
If you look at the Giants right now, and they're spending $160 million on their quarterback, and after their game last night, all of a sudden, there's a question mark there. Also, if you look at our game against the New Orleans Saints... and what Derek Carr is guaranteed and what Baker Mayfield is, all of a sudden you're
more
going...
more bang for your buck.
Yeah, all of a sudden... oh, I like what you did there. All of a sudden you're going, huh. And I think that this team really fits Baker Mayfield. I think it fits his style. And that's... oh, I know, call me crazy.
No,
but I think
that
that's
wasn't
why they
by
brought
accident.
Him in.
Yes, I've said that multiple times on here. They
I can tell by the look in your face.
Well, it's good. No, it's proof of concept. I like that you say that because... before the season, we talked about this and how we had some optimism about it, mm-hmm. and he did well in the preseason, and also they brought him in because they thought his skill set was a good fit for this, and his approach to the game, his grittiness, the way he really kind of gets guys to follow him, which I think you're seeing already.
Yep.
These guys want to play for him. And
he wants to play for them,
yeah,
too.
True. But your quarterback is always kind of your leader.
Yeah, but he's not a prima donna as a leader.
No, he's just kind of a...
he's a leader.
Let's get this done.
And I think, I don't know, maybe all of this is coming together for Baker Mayfield is he's having fun again playing football.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a big burden when you're the number one pick and you're going to a franchise that isn't doing very well and you're supposed to save it.
Well, it's not that we weren't doing very well.
No. I'm talking about when he went to Cleveland and he was supposed to save it.
Yeah.
Which you put the pressure on, you know, you're 22 and all of a sudden, hey, you got to make this work. And I get it. You know, that's the business. But if it doesn't work out, it doesn't mean you're the only reason why it didn't work out.
Well, and you know how that went down, man. He had a great 2020 season. It's the season I point to when I say, hey, there's at least reason to have some hope that Baker can put together a really nice season because we've actually seen him do it on the NFL level.
Right.
And perhaps with a somewhat lesser cast around him.
Sure.
And then 2021, to what extent is he injured? To what extent does that affect his play?
Mm-hmm.
And then...
last year was...
and then the Browns see this opportunity to what they believe... huge upgrade in trading for Deshaun Watson. We'll see if that ends up being true or not. And so that's it. In another world where they don't trade for Baker Mayfield, perhaps his rebound is with them. And you go, okay, yeah, he started out good, had to dip, and now he's kind of on an upward trajectory again. Instead, it's with us. I know last year didn't go well, but come on. He went to the Panthers. That was a disaster there.
Right.
Head coach fired after, five games. And then he was thrown into the fire with the Rams with virtually no preparation. So what do you expect, really, right?
Yeah. And so... The thing is you just don't know. But, you know, when he went to Carolina, you know, there were struggles there all the way across the board.
Saying.
Yeah. And then, but I don't know. Sometimes you just need a fresh start. You know, how many times have you seen that with a player where just needed a change
Geno
of scene?
Geno Smith.
There, right.
He just needed the right situation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was too reductive, too easy before the season to go, hey, look, Dave Canales was there. They turned Geno Smith around. So the exact same thing's going to happen with Baker. But so far, kind of is.
Yeah.
There's a long way to go. We have to preface that. There's a long way to go.
But, you know, we do in quarters, and I realize there's 17 games now, so it's not. But if you go on the standard of after four games, the arrow certainly is pointing up. So.
And he's run for, you know how many yards he's run for so far this year, Baker Mayfield?
Mm-mm.
61.
Really?
Which is a nice little thing. If you were comparing him to Derek Carr,
sure.
Derek Carr has one rushing yard so far.
Right.
So in today's NFL, if what you want is a quarterback. You don't necessarily have to get Justin Fields or, you know, Lamar Jackson, but your quarterback, if he offers you some positive value with his legs, some scrambles at certain times, and being able to move around and escape pressure, it's hard to be Dan Marino and just be the guy that just stands in the pocket, gets rid of the ball with an amazing quick release.
Uh-huh.
It's so much better chance of success if that guy can move around a little bit. You know, like Trevor Lawrence, he runs around pretty well. Guys like that, they're not known as rushing quarterbacks necessarily, but if they give you that. So you were saying this is exciting and fun for the players. It's fun for us, too.
Yes.
And I'm trying to be inclusive here with Buccaneer fans.
It is.
I hope that a lot of them are starting to feel that way.
It's a fun team to watch.
Well, it's fun to be discovering a new offense.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I say this now, it should never, ever, ever be interpreted as any kind of criticism about Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
But in his three seasons, he had 86 rushing yards in three seasons for us. Baker Mayfield has 61 through his first four games. It's a different thing.
Yeah.
Tom Brady is the greatest to ever do it. And especially in 2020 and 2021, it didn't matter if he ran a lot because he's just so freaking good throwing the ball.
Sure.
And he's just, you know, he has that unparalleled field vision and
he makes
every play. We could say everything there is to say about Tom Brady. But now we're seeing something that's built different.
Yeah.
And obviously it's under a new offensive coordinator. When we talked about all the kind of interesting play calling, which included like a Devin Tompkins in around and stuff like that, worked well.
That was good.
At the end of the day, though, you end up with 34 dropbacks and 33 carries.
Nice.
So you're doing creative stuff, but you're still doing it in service of this desire to be balanced on offense.
And how many yards did they have? What? Bucks had 140 yards rushing?
114.
14.
It's still only 3.5 per carry. Although you have to understand the last three carries were kneel downs.
Yeah.
So it really it should read 117 yards on 30 carries, which looks a little bit. That's close to 4 yards a carry.
Yeah.
But you know, I'll let you talk a little bit because I've been dominating this.
No. It's interesting because you're into this, you know, and people like these little tidbit facts of, you know, you're Mr. Stat Guy. That's fine.
Well, I want to make the stats.
And you're very, very excited today. I like it.
Well, I'm on the 72-hour rule, man. Yeah. I'm celebrating the Saints game more than one day.
You're riding high. No
it's
because
it's the bye week. We should allow this. I think in the bye week, you get a 72-hour rule.
Yeah. Well,
that's my opinion.
Yeah. And this particular game, there's just stuff to really feel good about. And you know, it's a division. You needed it. It's the Saints. I'll need you say more. It's just the Saints.
Well,
and there's that great rivalry now between the two teams. They just don't like each other, period. And you have to tip a hat. Unfortunately, you know, Mike Evans pulled his hammy a little bit. However, he also didn't lose his cool at all. So, yay, there's that because everybody was on Mike watch when that starts.
And it's funny because the obviously worst possible outcome of that is if it's an injury that keeps him out for some time.
Yeah, right.
I'm hopeful that it was not a severe tweak and that with the bye week he'll be back.
I kind of got the feeling it really wasn't because he got on the bike and he was, you know, during the game. They didn't bring him back in, but
I think
because
he tested it right after halftime, right?
Yeah.
So that's our hope. Another thing that I didn't like about it happening, though, is, okay, so you look at the box score after the game, you go, three catches for 40 yards.
Yeah.
Okay, Marshawn Lattimore won again.
No.
That was definitely not the case.
No.
Because Mike got those, yards quickly, and also, lest we forget, because it doesn't show up in his yardage, he got him on that that double move that drew a pretty significant pass interference penalty.
Uh-huh.
Remember that?
Right.
So that doesn't count on his yardage, but he beat Lattimore on that one. Lattimore had to grab him by the foot, or Mike's probably catching a touchdown pass. Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Mike was...
But you got the flag, so that was...
Mike was winning the battle between Lattimore early on, but since he left the game early... You know, when you talk about it late, every year they analyze it and go, in this many games, he's averaged this many catches for this many yards against Marshawn Lattimore.
Right.
He's had a couple big games in the Saints series, but he's had a lot more that were smaller yardage. Mm-hmm. This one would have probably fit into the better category had he been able to play a full four quarters.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think you're right. I think it would have been a touchdown if he didn't get tackled.
Yeah, in which case, Lattimore did the right thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know about getting up and acting like, well, what are you calling that flag?
Well,
that's about as blatant as a pass interference.
He always does it. I didn't.
Most
do
DBs do.
Yeah.
Well, what? That's a penalty?
Yeah.
I did feel like the Jets got screwed one of those plays.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't look like a penalty.
It didn't look like a penalty.
And it was
game changer.
It was. It was the play that.
That particular one was definitely a game changer.
It would have been a lot, as a fan, it would have been a lot more fun to see if Zach Wilson, who was having the game of his life,
right,
could have erase that deficit 23-20 and actually beaten Patrick Mahomes. Now, I love Patrick Mahomes, so I'm not looking for ways to say, Patrick Mahomes. But, and I like the Chiefs and we have some friends there, but I don't.
Well, I think
it would have been more interesting.
Yeah, I think also you have to ask yourself, where Kansas City's at, because they seem to, they're winning, but it doesn't seem like they're just dominating
teams
anymore.
Eagles are the same way.
Right.
I mean, they did kind of dominate us.
But good teams figure out a way to win.
Well, that's fair.
You have to give them that. I mean, you know, there's no style points in football.
I think the Chiefs, they figure out a way to win, and it's like, we have Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how they figure out a way to win.
Yeah.
Although he didn't have a very, by his standards, a great game.
He had three picks.
Three?
I think he did, didn't he?
I don't know.
Anyways.
There's at least two.
Yeah. I mean, and you figure you get a couple picks, you got a good shot of winning that game. And they did, however.
They had a shot at it.
They had a shot
because the Jets have a good defense.
Yeah. But that's what I think is so amazing about the NFL is last week, Miami Dolphins put 70 points on the board, and then they lose, 48-20 against Buffalo.
Buffalo was favored.
Yeah. And then Denver getting 70 points scored on them. They're behind. They come back and beat the Bears. So, I mean, each day is one of those you just don't know. I really believe that. I think it's like you said earlier, if you don't prepare for a team, you're going to get smoked. So,
yeah, or just the ball can bounce the wrong way.
Well, that, right?
But to kind of put a bow on the Mayfield discussion. The Baker Mayfield discussion, it's not the end of our season-long discussion, obviously, but where we stand right now, I'm sure you recall that when we've discussed this thing, we talked about how there weren't high expectations for the Buccaneers coming into the season because Tom Brady retired, and he's being replaced by Baker Mayfield. And so much of the analysis by analysts that I am fond of, that I think do a great job, but a lot of times it was just, hey, they still have a lot of good players.
Right.
They have some good pass catchers. Their defense still has a lot of the same players that were in the Super Bowl. They could have a really good defense, but they don't have a quarterback, so let's rank them 29th. And so our argument was, take all of that, and if you're wrong about the quarterback.
Right.
If you're wrong about the quarterback, that's the only part of the equation we have to flip.
Sure.
To say, now the Bucs are contenders.
Right.
You said it yourself. They have a good supporting cast, they have a good defense probably. They have the makings of that. But they can't win because they don't have a quarterback.
Correct.
Okay, now, we're not going to tell you how. We're not going to say who it is. We're just going to tell you, hey, by the way, the Buccaneers, as it turned out, they did have a good quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how do you feel about us now?
Right.
Okay. And they'd be like, so you're telling me they have a good quarterback, potentially pretty good? I don't want to say great yet. Potentially pretty good. Potentially above average, right? Right now, he's well above average.
Right.
But I'm not telling you the name, but... All you need to know...
A serviceable quarterback right now.
Well, sir, he's well more than that at the moment. But all you need to know, Mr. Analyst or Mrs. Analyst, is that everything you said about everything else about the team is true, and they have a good quarterback. Mm. What do you say now? okay, well, then they probably have a shot, especially in a division that a lot of people think is weak. And then I say to you, well, that good quarterback is Baker Mayfield. They would all go, yeah, well, whatever. That's not going to happen.
Right. And a lot of right now, and, you know, it's still early. You have to. But if you're going to take a measurement, and we are taking a measurement right now, I've been reading a lot of national stuff, and begrudgingly,
it is.
Well, the Bucs, you know, might get hot in the NFC South. Might get hot? Come on. Come on. I realize it's 3-1. But at the end of the day, you got to tip your hat. There aren't very many 3-1 teams right now in the NFL.
You know what I like about all that, Jeff?
What?
You said tip your hat, which is the way you're supposed to say it. But
well,
the
young
players nowadays, they all say, I have to tip my hat off.
Oh, no.
You either say you tip your hat.
Yeah.
Or you say you got to take your hat off. You don't tip your hat off.
Yeah, you can.
Everybody says tip your hat off.
Oh, okay. Well, I got it right.
You got it right.
Yay.
Because you're old school and you've been
around.
That's
right. That's it. Yes.
How long have we been going, Jeff? Because I want to know how many of these topics I should hit.
You're only at 40 minutes, buddy boy. Just keep on coming.
I got a lot to go, man.
Did you have a Red Bull or something?
No, I don't. Okay. I never drink those.
All right. Go ahead.
So, like I said, I think I was putting the bow on that. The Vita Vea, two sacks.
Right.
He's got 3.5 already. He had a season-high 6.5 last year. We're only 4 games in. Todd kind of chuckled a little bit when one of the reporters was saying a good thing about Vita and saying, hey, 3.5 sacks, he's on pace for like 14, 15. And Todd kind of chuckled a little bit because nobody thinks that Vita Vea is going to get 15 sacks.
No.
I mean, it would be fantastic if he did because he'd be like Warren Sapp all the time. But he's getting pressure. And obviously we already know, and it continues to be true, that he makes a difference in everything else that happens just by being on the field,
right?
Especially in the run game. I'm going to the next-gen stats too often, I guess, but in this past game, when he was on the field, they averaged 2.6 yards per run, and when he was off the field, they averaged 5.8.
Right.
And that kind of stat is constantly coming out about Vita, that the Bucs defense is a lot better when he's on the field, even if he's not racking up stats. But if you take that, and then you add, hey, this guy does occasionally give you a two-sack game, that's awfully valuable.
Yeah, and just think if we get our first-round draft pick in with
Vita Vea. Then we might get to see what everybody's talking about.
Gosh, I mean, hopefully we will because we're in the bye week, as you say.
He was not put on injured reserve.
No.
And nowadays you can bring a guy back after a minimum of 4 games. Mm-hmm. So if you think he's going to be out for 4 games, then you probably just go ahead and put him on IR so you got some flexibility on your roster.
Right.
Well, he's missed 3 now. So, and there's a bye week also in there. So it seems like they definitely plan for him to be back at the latest for this next coming game, which will be great.
Right.
Maybe Jamel will be back.
As early as this bye is, it's actually a good thing.
Yeah.
For this team right now.
It worked out that way.
Yes. Now, if you can get everybody healthy, you really need to get everybody healthy. And then the other side of that is if someone's kind of iffy, you may not want to put them in because you got such a long stretch after this bye.
Okay.
Without a break. I mean, you get a little mini break with Buffalo because you're playing on Thursday. But honestly, it would have been better if you had the Thursday game somewhere in November rather than in October, so soon after your bye. So I think health is going to be a big, big deal for most teams.
Yeah.
But, you know, right now we're kind of getting these nagging injuries.
Well, you could get Jamel back. You could get Kalijah back.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how much of a difference it makes on defense, but Servase Dennis hasn't played since week one.
No.
He could be back. You hope that Mike's injury wasn't too big of a deal. Carlton Davis came back, but now he'll have another week to get even better.
Yeah.
So any little things that you got going on? Oh, Ryan Neal got a concussion.
Yes.
You would think
right
he'll
away,
probably be
right.
back.
Yeah. Yeah.
You would think, yeah. He played one special team snap, kickoff coverage, and 2 defensive snaps and had 2 tackles.
Yeah. Impressive. I think he got hit in the head.
Yeah.
He's got a concussion.
Foot hit his head or something?
Yes. I was just going to say it was kind of a freak hit. Yes.
Jeff here with the doctor bit. He's got a concussion. Oh, I think he got hit in the head.
What I was trying to say was it wasn't like his head hit the turf. A knee, a foot, another body part hit him. So it just goes to show you how hard the hits are.
Speaking of hard hits, did you see this catcher just hit by the backswing?
Yeah.
God, they hate that.
Well, you can say you're watching the Tampa Bay Rays and the Texas Rangers' first wild card playoff game. It's on.
It's on the TV. We're not paying much attention to it because we are in service of the listeners here, trying to give an entertaining show.
But, sure.
They are losing 1-0 in the bottom of the fourth.
Yeah, by the time you hear this, the game will be way, way over. But that's just another thought.
When we get to all the fans' questions here, you're going to get some international flavor. So it's a possibility that they don't really know what's going on in this baseball playoffs.
Well, that's true. That's true.
D. Delaney. So Ryan Neal goes out. Nice segue here. Ryan Neal goes out on the second play. D plays the entire rest of the game at the other safety spot a week. And basically, he spent, to me, from my naked eye, it looked like he spent a lot of the time playing single high free safety so that Antoine could be moved all over the field. And coming into that game, I'm just going to talk to you, the listeners, here for a while, because Jeff once again is ignoring me while
I'm
texting
not,
on
I'm
phone.
Not. I have to answer a very important question from the IT department.
You wouldn't have to if you left your phone in your office.
And if I didn't, we could have issues. So I have
I'm
to
sure
do
they
this.
Could wait another half an
no
hour.
No one can wait for me, Scott. You know that.
D. Delaney played the rest of like I said, the Buccaneers came into the game, according to the stats the NFL sent out before last game, as using the third highest percentage of single high safety packages in the NFL. Uh-huh. So we've been playing a lot of single high, which I believe is probably so that Antoine can be moved all over the place.
Sure.
Sometimes Antoine is the single high safety, but I think he gets moved around a lot more. So D. Delaney, who last week came in to play outside corner when Jamel got hurt and got an interception, comes in here to play safety, plays almost the entire game, obviously was part of a very good defensive effort. And he gets another interception.
Right.
So it's if you took every single player on the 53-man roster and ranked how important they were to our success, I don't know where you'd put Delaney. But
you got to have him.
It's awfully valuable to have a guy that could do that 1 week and then the next week, different jobs.
Well, when we had him on, we talked about his versatility. And, you know, so I think – do you have to rank players? I mean,
no.
Do you
I'm
have
just.
To?
I was trying to make a point.
No, I understand that, but it just brought me as it's everything's a ranking anymore. You know, it's always you just can't say, hey, we're good, and leave it at that.
Okay, if I were to ask a Buck fan who's our most important player, you know, nobody would say D. Delaney as their number one.
Well,
answer.
That's true. That's
You'd probably
true.
Say Baker or Mike or
Mike.
Vita
yeah, I'd say Mike
or Levante.
Yeah,
Antoine.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a while probably till somebody
sure.
says D. Delaney because he's not a starter technically.
No,
but we're just talking about.
But when he's in, he makes a difference.
Yeah, and it's another indication of how this roster is even maybe just a bit deeper than mm-hmm. some of these analysts who gave it some credit thought because
sure.
you got a guy like D. Delaney. I'm sure nobody was looking at D. Delaney and going, "Well, that that makes
sure.
it better or worse." Christian Isian.
Yeah.
Nobody knew about Christian Isian.
No.
I mean, Todd Bowles knew.
Yeah.
And he's one of the main guys that he's talking about when he said that line several times. He's like, there's a lot of good players on this team. You just don't know who they are yet.
Well, and that's that conversation was just it's just stayed with me since training camp. And now you're starting to see that. Mm-hmm. And he was very excited about all these young guys.
Yeah.
And they have been proving that. But I also take that as a credit to the coaching staff to getting these guys up. You know, I mean, coaching them up, so
right.
to speak. I mean, you have your natural talents. You have your God-given gifts. So there's that.
I know I do.
But, yeah. And then someone's got to coach you up or help you improve. And that's what's happening. And, it's just fun. You made a comment about watching the game, and it's fun. And it was. There really hasn't been a game where it wasn't somewhat fun. I mean, the Eagles game was a little, but you were still in it. You still had a shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's a plus.
So Mike goes, as we said, Mike Evans goes out before halftime with the hamstring. A lot of guys step up. You know, Devin Tompkins gets his first touchdown. Trey Palmer gets another one. Mm-hmm. Kate Otten. But it's Chris Godwin who kept that passing game going.
Yeah.
With 8 catches for 114 yards. Yeah. And it's just kind of funny because it comes after a week in which – for some reason that you and I and a lot of us can't understand, in the press conferences, there was this narrative that Chris Godwin isn't being used. What's the usage
well,
problem
that,
with Chris
that,
Godwin?
I need to write about something, so I'm going to say, and that's that always happens when you have a variety of weapons on your offense. Someone wants always wants to key in on, well, you're not using this guy. You know, why is that? Well, because you got to spread the ball around. And also what they were trying to accomplish. When Mike did go down, you kind of thought Chris was really going to be like a key. And I think
I wasn't sure. Let me stop for just a second because they were shadowing Mike with Marshall Lattimore. They were doing that. He was shadowing him. When Mike goes out, I was like, well, they'll probably shadow Chris with Marshawn Lattimore now. And I don't know if they did or not. If they did, that's even better for Chris.
Right.
But I didn't necessarily think that Mike's inavailability was going to be a good thing for Chris.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they might now key on Chris and make us beat them with Evan Tompkins and Trey Palmer. And
both got touchdowns, so that worked out well.
But it's just funny. I don't have a problem with the question. At the beginning of the week or Wednesday or whatever.
Yeah.
Because his stats were a lot lower than Mike's. So you ask the question and they explain, you know, what's happened so far. Mm-hmm. But it was just weird to me the way the narrative kind of just seemed to keep going through the week. And I'm like, dude or whoever.
Dudettes.
We're
dude,
three
whatever.
Weeks into the season.
Folks.
If you're
like week eight and you're going, wow, why do you have Chris Godwin on your team? You're paying him all this money. Why is this happening? But it was, you know, you're in your fourth game.
We weren't even in our fourth game yet. It was 3 weeks in the season. Well, do you know who our leading pass catcher is right now?
Chris Godwin.
Chris Godwin.
Well, that's because, you know, I brought it to everyone's attention. That
did you go back and tell
Chris.
The coaches?
Yeah, I had a discussion.
You took a big picture of Chris with you. He goes, guys, you know this guy, right?
You know, you ever see this number before? you might go out and look at it a little bit more.
You had a heart-to-heart with Baker?
Me and Bake.
Baker's like, Chris who?
Yeah. I had to let him know.
No, I mean, obviously the injury to Mike probably had something to do with the fact that Chris had his biggest game so far. But the point being, it was only the fourth game.
Yeah.
Next week, it could be Mike again. But Chris is not playing any differently than he has been before.
Yeah.
And we obviously know that he is. Here's part of it. I think somebody here on the staff said this to me when we were discussing this. It's been 3 years of us setting passing records.
Right.
And when you have the quarterback throwing the most passes ever in a season, and when you have the best passing attack or close to it for three straight years,
right,
and you can't run the ball at all and you're not trying to run the ball, there's going to be a lot of good numbers to go around.
Right.
So we shouldn't expect necessarily Chris and Mike and anybody else to have the same volume of numbers that they did the last 3 years.
Yeah.
We're not trying to be the best passing attack in the league anymore.
No.
I'm sure we'd love to be the best passing attack in the league, but that's not the goal.
No. No, and it's different, you know. But you got to write stories to make people read.
Yep.
You know, I mean, you got to do the what ifs.
I'm kind of jumping around here, but
sure.
That was such a good defensive performance for us, you know. Did you probably heard this stat, but Alvin Kamara caught 13 passes for 33 yards.
Jeez.
It's the first time in history, NFL history, that a player has caught 13 passes in a game and finished with fewer than 70 yards.
Wow.
Not 50, 70.
Wow.
He didn't even have half of that. He didn't just set the new standard. He blew the old one away. So that's obviously indicative of, you know, really good underneath coverage and reacting quickly to the ball. Devin White, Levante David, Izian, just everybody, really.
Yeah.
And so that was cool. What else did I have? I thought I had something along those lines, but I think I've forgotten it.
I think all in all, what I like is that the team is getting better as each week goes by. You know, I mean,
it wasn't a perfectly linear line.
No, but I think the thing that needs to be discussed though is, geez, guys, you got to stop with the penalties.
Yeah, but we had a good game against Philly in penalties wise.
Right. Yeah, well, there was only what?
Seven in the whole game.
Yeah.
There was 18 in this one, I think.
Crazy, isn't it?
It does make you wonder if you get different results from different crews.
Well, I would. That would be a good analysis. That would be something.
But there were a couple false starts, which.
Well, you're in that dome.
I mean, we didn't do any in Minnesota, though.
Well, that's true.
One other thing here. The Bucs were 8 of 15 on third downs overall, but what was particularly impressive was, or good to see, was that we were 4 for 4 on third downs where you need 4 to 6 yards.
Right.
And I think we're going to need to be good in that category in most games to have success offensively, because with this attempt to get balance and with you saying, hey, a 3 yard run on first down can be an efficient play.
Mm-hmm.
If you run 3 yards, then run 3 yards, you're in third and four. If you can consistently convert those third and fours, it'll work.
Sure.
But in the first three games, we were only 4 of 12. And I think Dave Canales even made mention of it when he was talking about third downs. You know, he's like, we've been doing pretty good here. Kind of the mid-range ones we haven't been good in. So maybe they did some self-scouting and came up with plays that are working. But we converted all four of them.
Right. Well, the other thing about Dave is I sure love his energy. I liked how he came in. Hey, great weekend this weekend. You have to go watch his press conference. Yeah. That was great.
Yeah. Are they already rolling at that part?
Like, oh, yeah.
That part of the recording?
Yeah, yeah. I think
has a little bit of give and take before any questions.
Yeah, usually they run that. Usually the cameras are rolling as you open the door and walk in. Now, it's a question of whether they edit that out.
That's what I meant, I guess.
I'd have to look. But I liked it, though. I liked that energy level. And I don't think it's fake energy. You know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes it's being backed up. Maybe that's what it is at this stage.
I also like that Todd Bowles now appears to have a signature post-game.
I love it.
post-game locker room reaction after a win. Maybe only one on the road, because they've both been on the road, right?
Correct.
But the big yes.
Yeah.
It was funny because as soon as he started, I think I realized it. So I'm sure everybody in the room realized it, because he started into the same line and people started smiling. Because the first time he did it, they didn't know what he was going to say.
Right.
So he's like, there's one word to describe a win like this. And he went, yeah.
Yeah.
This time he's like, now remember, there's only one word for it. And then everybody was pretty hyped.
Yeah. Hey, you know, you won 2 on the road, 2 in domes. That's pretty solid.
Yeah, it's a great start.
It's an excellent start.
Did you want one more note about power polls to say how silly they can be?
Oh, yes, please.
And then we'll get to fan questions, okay? So on this site that I like, they have a power poll for the teams every week.
Mm-hmm.
And Houston this week won at home against a Pittsburgh team that's been struggling.
Right.
And was without their starting quarterback, at least for part of it.
Yeah. Pickett got hurt.
Houston beat Pittsburgh, beat them pretty well. They jumped 11 spots in their power poll.
Well, yeah.
And they're 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
The Buccaneers won on the road
mm-hmm.
against an opponent that had been playing well.
Right.
And we only jumped 6 spots.
Well, that's because they were ranked 32 to begin with, so they're giving a little more hope. Because no one expected Houston to do anything.
Houston was ranked in this particular one.
Yeah.
31 to start the – I think Arizona was last.
Oh, okay.
31, 30 – and then they stayed around 30, and then they were 27 after beating – I don't remember who they beat.
Yeah.
And now they jump from 27 to 16, which leaves problem over us because the Bucs go from 24 to 18. At least we are ahead of the Saints.
Yeah.
Which we just beat, but we're behind the 1-3 Vikings who we beat.
But I think you just need to look at the standings.
Yeah, that's your real power.
That's
poll,
all
right?
I care about on the PowerPoint.
I know, and I'm the one defending them most of the time.
You can sit there and pull all those numbers out of your you-know-what all you want, but standings are real. Standings are real.
That's what matters right now, right?
All right.
Okay. You
next thing you're
going to
get me into, my guy on fantasy football didn't catch the ball. So
I haven't said I could. I have a fantasy football sob story, but I didn't bring it up.
Oh, please share. Seriously.
Did you watch the game last night?
I did.
In the fantasy league I care about the most, where I was 2-1,
mm-hmm.
I came into the night up by 4 points. We each had one player left.
Okay. Who did you have?
Darren Waller, the tight end for the Giants.
And who did this other person
have? The Seattle defense.
Ooh, too bad for you.
Yeah. And things were still pretty close and could have gone either way until...
Now,
you remember the pick six play?
Yeah.
Darren Waller was wide open in the end zone. If he sees Darren Waller and throws him the touchdown pass and then the pick six doesn't exist, I probably win that week.
Yeah, but if...
That one play cost me a week.
Yes, yes. If and buts were candy and nuts, you all would be happy at Christmas time. Doesn't matter. How many sacks did Seattle have? Was there like 11?
I think it was 11.
Is that not crazy?
It is crazy.
Would you not have just lost your fantasy game just because of 11 sacks? Do you get points for sacks?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Well, he ended up scoring a ton. Did they really?
Yeah.
I turned the game off after the pick six.
Well, yes, but...
I didn't realize they
got okay, but let's say they didn't have a pick six.
11 sacks would have been enough.
Okay, so it doesn't matter then.
But if they'd thrown it to Darren Waller, I would have got like 10 points out of that play.
Okay, but how many points you get for a sack?
In most leagues, it's either one or two. I can't remember.
Oh, okay. So the most they would have got was 22 points.
Which is a lot. And Darren Waller didn't have that. So okay. I don't know. I don't know what would have happened.
I'm not good with numbers, but I'm just saying. I don't think you're going
to
win that.
You always say that, and then you try to say a stat.
Go ahead.
Okay. Questions? Mm-hmm. Fan questions? Let me make sure I get to the right one. Okay.
All right.
This is from Mike in Connecticut. Howdy, dogs. What a great day for football. I started off by coaching my five-year-old's flag football game. I've done that before, by the way. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Then got to watch the Bucks take it to the Saints. The cherry on top was Jameis throwing a pick in garbage time, just like the old days. It's great to see Baker be able to scramble around, make things happen when he needs to, and then defense keep them in the games even against the speed the Saints' skill players have. Yeah, by the way, Rashid Shaheed and Chris Olave are very fast, and they were one of only two teams coming into that game that had three receivers that were all over 150 yards already. Chris Olave ended up with one catch for 4 yards.
Yes, and he was averaging, I know you're going to find this shocking, but he was averaging 100.3 yards a game. And being held like he was incredible.
We pretty much held Rashid Shaheed in check. He hurt us last year, and Michael Thomas had four catches for 53 yards. So,
yep.
Okay, getting back to the question. Hopefully the bye week is actually a blessing and can get everyone back healthy. My only complaint comes on the fantasy side. Sorry, Jeff, I know you hate this. Scott, can you slip Dave Canales to 20 and ask him to get Chris Godwin or Rashad White into the end zone? That would really help me with some points on my team. Tons of yards, but no TDs again. Anyways, hope you both had smiles on your ride down the shittiest elevator in the world today.
Wow.
This was sent on Sunday. Have a great week off. Go Bucks.
Wow.
I did have a smile on my face. Although when I went down, the game wasn't over.
Right.
We were still up by one touchdown, but I knew I couldn't wait because they let the coaches go down and they hold them.
Sure.
So I wasn't sure I'd be able to get down, get the quotes, get back up, and finish my story. So I just took my computer and worked in the locker
room. And there's really no way to walk down the stairs. You'd have to ramp it.
Yeah.
Just
so I wasn't willing to risk it. And so I was – the game was not over when we rolled out.
I will say I give props for the elevators because we were able to get all the equipment in one run.
Okay, so they used to be an F, and now they're like a C-.
Well, they got two of them, so it was pretty good. You know, but see, we're
still
also –
still takes forever.
It does, but in our particular instance, we weren't going down until 35 minutes after the game.
Yeah,
so
well, that makes a big difference.
That's a big difference.
Okay, so, yeah, Chris Godwin and Rashad are going to get in the end zone. I mean, there was a – before the Tompkins – touchdown catch, the second down pass was targeting Godwin.
Uh-huh.
And then didn't Rashad run the ball down to the one before the touchdown to Trey Palmer?
Yeah.
Yes. So, I mean, he got the first and goal carry at the six and almost got it in. That's the play that Mike got hurt on, by the way.
Okay.
Oh, no, that's an injury update, not when it happened. And so then I like throwing on second and one, but if Palmer hadn't caught that, there's a good chance we would have tried to run Rashad in after that. So the opportunities are going to come. Mm-hmm. I know this is mostly a tongue-in-cheek question, but
yeah,
you'll be fine. He'll get his touchdowns.
Yep.
All right, this is from this is from Don Little in Orlando, Florida. I think he's chimed in a couple times this year. Ahoy ye old salty dogs. Wow, what a great win for the Bucks. Words cannot describe how much I dislike the Saints. Their organization, their players' dirty style of play, okay?
Right.
Their obnoxious fans, agreed, et cetera. Are you convinced yet? Lol. I even dislike their stadium, the Superdome.
Yeah, no, I go with that.
I mean, have you heard our podcast and how we feel about it?
I mean, they love their Superdome, and they keep improving it. I mean, they keep making different adjustments to it, and they're adding more to it also. So you gotta remember, that thing was built, I think, in 1970, something like that, so...
To me, it is like watching a game being played in a huge dark mausoleum.
Well, it
is. They have plenty of mausoleums there.
What happens is every, you know, when you talk to a player after the game, they say tonight because it is dark in there. So no matter when you play the game, it is kind of weird when you walk out. Like, first of all, it's very, very cold in that dome.
That's the only good thing.
Yeah. But then when you walk out and it's dark. And then when you walk out to the buses, all of a sudden you feel the heat and the sun. It's like, whoa.
Oh, wow, it's only 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
I have heard both of you lament on previous podcasts about that stadium. So my question for both of you is, what are the top three things you like least about working/watching in the Superdome?
Okay.
Don't you have a really small radio booth?
Yeah, well, it's deep and small.
And very high.
And very high, as you well know when you sit in there. And you can't really see. You have to get up on the edge of your seat and then lean down over to see. So basically, I stood the whole game just so I could see.
I can't really do that because I'm typing.
Yep.
So one on my list.
Yeah, that's one on my list. Which one on your list?
Well, it's similar to yours because of how high we are up and the angle. Mm-hmm. You have your laptop open, but you can't see the field. You can't see over your laptop to the field, so you have to like be pulling your laptop down or looking around the side of it the whole game. Mm-hmm. It's very irritating and inconvenient.
My other thing is you are so high that you're level with the speakers and they're always on full blast.
I would take that one too.
You know.
But since you took it, I'll say I still hate the elevators. And now add in how far it is to the locker room.
Okay.
That would be my two. Mm-hmm. Those are combined as a second one. You got one more?
One more. Let's see. I will say the people are very nice. The people that work there are very nice.
These were supposed to be complaints.
Okay. Let's see. How high we are, the loud noise. And, you know, you said the long walk, which is true. It's almost three quarters around the stadium.
How about the song? I think that's my number three. I hate that thing. I hate that song. I don't even know what it is.
I don't particularly care for when the Saints are marching in band.
Yeah.
Not a fan of that. But I would say that would be pretty much it. And honestly, two of those make up three bads at other stadiums. Two bad things at the Superdome are like three bad things at another stadium.
Just because of how we feel about it?
Correct.
All right, on to the next. Michael Gizzy. Hello, dogs. Anytime we beat the Saints, it's a great week. As a season ticket holder, I got a perk where I got to go on the field after the Bears game. And I noticed how big / long our logo is in the middle of the field, which is great. Mr. Smith, you are great. You don't have to call me Mr. At these things, do we have the biggest in the NFL or college? And does the NFL have any regulations on size or anything? Just curious because they got picky with what kind of socks and cleats and gloves, et cetera, you can wear. Have a great week. Fire the cannons. Thank you, Michael Gizzy.
I think there is a rule of how big the logo can be.
I forgot to look this one up.
Yeah, but I think
bad
I think, well, there's regulations on things that you, there's stuff you have to do. There's stuff that you can't have on the field. You can't have certain logos on the field. There is a compliance on how the stadiums need to be set up. I'm trying to think of who has a I thought the Cleveland Browns elf was awful big on the field when we were there. I thought that was kind of big.
And that's kind of off to the side, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't in the middle?
Yeah, and the Ravens is a good size because of, you know, you got to get the beak and then the feathers at the back part. That's kind of a big one. Used to be in Carolina. It's a Panther thing.
Apparently, it has to be approved by the commissioner, but there is no actual set length.
Oh,
or
okay.
Size.
All right.
There probably is some sort of guidelines that the commissioner would be following, but it's not anything that's technically in the rule book. It just has to be approved by the league. So I don't know if it's the biggest one in all of football and college and the NFL, but I highly doubt it. I don't watch enough college football to be an expert on that.
No. Yeah. College football just is like that's a whole other world to me.
I find it's interesting.
It's interesting.
Bad,
but no, it's what I love about college football. It was like the LSU game, the Mississippi State or Southern Miss where Lane Kiffin is. Anyways,
Ole Miss, I think
that game had like 1,200 yards together, you know, and it was just like there was zero defense, and it was fun to watch because you knew whoever had the ball last was going to score.
Yeah,
so that's what I like about college.
You get
college
those
ball.
Kind of games every now and then in college, that's for sure. All right, this is from Reese in the UK.
Okay,
hello, salty ones. I've been listening to most of your podcasts for a long time now, and thought I'd be brave and actually make an attempt at writing an email that might make some conversation for yourselves and hear more great stories of your time covering the team. As a man that didn't start watching until 2015, he says in parentheses, week 7 and the Kirk Cousins, you like that game, so not the best start to Bucks fandom.
Yeah.
I haven't been around as long as many fans of the team, so as a bit of history lover when it comes to my games, I'm wondering what your first games working for the Bucks were and your overriding memories of those games. P.S., a great start to the season, and I love how hard this team has fought. It's great to see the black and gold 94, that would be Cam Jordan, mm-hmm. have to eat that L for his sniping these last few seasons. He reminds me of an 11-year-old boy being asked about girls anytime the Bucks are mentioned.
Right.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's funny.
So, Jeff, do you remember your first game working?
My first game working the Bucks or seeing the
Actually,
Bucks?
You can do both.
I can do both.
Because you were a Bucks fan before.
Yeah, I can do both.
Was it on a date with Linda?
That was my first date with her, yes.
But it wasn't your first game?
No.
Okay.
No. My first game was, gosh, I don't even remember who it was. But I can tell you my first working experience was in 1991. It was a preseason game at the Old Municipal Stadium in Cleveland that was very, very old. And you talk about a bad elevator. It was a horrible elevator. And it was my first NFL game, and I was very, very excited that here I was doing an NFL game. And then I had never really been in a broadcast booth before at a football game. And this was a baseball stadium that they also did a football games in. And the booth was on top of the stadium, and it really was on top of the stadium, where he no longer exists, but where Chief Wahoo was sitting up there, and they had the emblem up there. That's okay. How high it was on the stadium.
Okay.
The broadcast booths were doghouses. They were made out of plywood. Okay. So my first game, I have an engineer. I'm ready to go and this and that. And I get to the game, and I walk in, and the engineer had set up in the wrong broadcast booth, and he had a bunch of wires sitting in the middle of the floor. From that game forth, I always go 5 hours early with the engineers to make sure they find the correct booth, put the wires the way they're supposed to be, and that was a lesson that I learned.
I can verify that he does that.
Yeah.
He takes the extra early bus every time.
And the reason for that is ultimately it is my responsibility, right. So I'd rather be there early and catch the error rather than coming in surprised like I was my first game.
So. I don't have a story for the first time watching a Bucks game as a fan in the stands because I've never done it.
Mm-hmm.
I've, in fact, never been to an NFL game as a fan.
Wow.
Every one I've ever been to, I was working.
Sure.
That's because I came from St. Louis. And if we had any money to spend on tickets, we're going to go to baseball.
Sure. No, I understand that.
I remember I started in 92. I do remember that we beat the Cardinals, the Phoenix Cardinals, as they were known then.
Yeah.
They were a pretty unremarkable team. I just looked it up. Their quarterback was Tim Rosenbaugh.
Oh, wow.
And Chris Chandler was actually there.
Sure.
Who was a former Buccaneer.
Yeah.
I could remember the score. It was 23-7, but there wasn't really anything special about that game, except I guess it was Sam Weich's first game as a coach, so it's cool to start off well.
Sure.
I much more remember the second game, which also was a home game, and it was against the Green Bay Packers, who at the time were not the Green Bay Packers that we know. They were not.
No.
They'd been bad for a pretty long time.
Right. This after the Magic Man? Was he gone then?
Funny you should ask. The Magic Man is Don Majkowski, who is probably best known for being the Packers quarterback before Brett Favre.
Uh-huh.
He started that game. I don't know. I don't recall if we knocked him out or if he was pulled, but that gave Brett Favre his first chance to play.
Yeah.
And that was the last time Don Majkowski ever started a game. And the other reason I remember that game, we beat them pretty badly. Let's see what the score was. 31-3.
Yeah.
Wow. Two more things I remember about this. Brett Favre's, I think it was his first pass, was completed to Brett Favre.
Oh, he got batted back.
He got batted down, and he caught it, and then was tackled for a loss of 7. Let me see if it was.
Do you remember that, or did you look that up?
I remember that happened because it's a great
It's a great trivia question.
It's a great trivia question. Sure. It was his first pass. So Majkowski was sacked on the very last play of the first half. It's possible he got hurt on that play. That part I don't recall. Mm-hmm. But Favre started the second half, and his very first pass was tipped by Ray Seals, it says here, and he caught it.
Wow.
And the other reason I remember that game is Vinny Testaverde had completed 22 of his first 24 passes. This I didn't have to look up. I remembered.
Uh-huh.
And we believed that was the single game record for completion percentage. Uh-huh. But communications and that kind of thing weren't as great in 1992. So we were trying to get the word down to the sideline in case they cared about that.
Oh.
And we didn't get it down there in time. He threw an incompletion.
Yeah.
was finished 22 of 25 and didn't get the record.
That was back when they had a mimeograph machine.
We literally had a mimeograph machine. Do you want to tell somebody what a mimeograph machine is in case they don't know?
Google it.
Basically, it's this big drum that it's to make copies, and you're turning it, and it goes through ink.
Yeah, you have to pour the ink in, and it has an ungodly smell to it.
It did smell bad.
Yeah, I mean, the guy that was
chemicals.
The guy that was in there that did it always came out a little woozy.
And that's how he copied, like, play stats and stuff.
It was blue, and it didn't always hit correct. Yeah. It didn't hit evenly.
Right.
So sometimes you had to kind of fill in a number with a pen to make sure that it works.
We did go to a printer the next season.
Uh-huh.
But that was my only season with a mimeograph. Yeah. I know, because I was the one who had we still didn't have a lot of printers, so we would carry the printer that we used in the office and PR over to the stadium.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that it doesn't seem that long ago, but I guess if you say 92, that's 32 years ago, whatever. How much technology has changed, and how much technology has changed just by people's phones.
Oh, geez.
The stuff that people have on their phones is it would take you all night to compile, you know, to have it for the next day for the coaches so they could grade their players. It's crazy.
I remember somewhere in this continuum, I started doing a lot of stat sheets that I had to update. And so Sunday night, after work and the various things we had to do, I'd go home and I'd work on a laptop at home, or maybe my personal computer. I don't remember if I had a laptop then. And I'd get home and realize I'd forgotten a copy of the play-by-play with all the stats in it. And I'd have to drive back
in. Yeah.
Now I could just,
you just
call it up and print it on my home printer.
It's crazy, isn't it?
I had to drive. I'd go be like, oh, I can't believe this. I have to go back to the office just to pick up this paper.
It's funny because the way technology has changed, I used to do interviews and then have to drive back to the radio station to drop
to
it off.
Them.
Yeah. Well, you know, you had to drop them off or you had to put them on, you know, and now you do that stuff all in your office, off your laptop. In fact, I was doing editing on stuff on the bus in New Orleans off my phone.
Okay.
Crazy.
We have four more questions. I don't know if we'll get through them all.
Oh yeah, we have time.
Okay. This one is from another fan in UK named Simon.
Uh-huh.
He says, good morning/afternoon/evening to you both. I'm writing this on Victory Monday from Norwich, England.
Ah.
I'm going to assume that's pronounced Norwich. Maybe it's Norwich.
No, I'd say Norwich.
Fresh off the back of watching the Falcons flop at Wembley Stadium.
Oh, yes.
I've also just returned from Tampa, having watched my one Bucks game that I treat myself to each year. The less said about that game, the better, so we know which one he went to.
Sure.
But I love my time in Tampa, as always. My question, what does a bye week look like for the players and for the coaches? Do the players simply get told, off you go, see you in a week, as that's almost what it sounded like in Coach Bowles' victory speech? Are the coaches still allowed to work if the NFL says that players cannot keep up the great work and all the bits in between? Haha, Simon, a Bucks fan in the UK.
Yep. See you, players. Come on back Monday.
That's not always the case.
No.
Teams they have to give them four consecutive days off.
And it has to be a Saturday and Sunday.
So if it has to be four consecutive, it has to be Saturday. I guess they could potentially go Friday through Monday.
Yeah. Or Thursday through Sunday.
Yeah. I'm saying that's the most common way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday through Sunday. So you can bring them in for, I guess, what you call bonus practices on like Tuesday and Wednesday. And we have done that.
Yep.
And it's possible there were two different plans here in place, depending on if we won or lost.
Correct. And then it always is, right?
I know there was with the previous coaching staff. I feel like they came in, they've been coming in at least for treatment and meetings on Mondays this year. Like hasn't been Victory Monday. Am I wrong about that?
There have been, but they still come in for treatment and a quick team meeting.
Okay, so they do have to come in.
Yeah, they do. Well, usually after every game, you have to if you have to come in for treatment.
Yeah, treatment. Yeah. But I'm talking about a meeting. If you're not hurt,
I think he always does a team meeting, doesn't he? Usually,
I think he does.
Yeah.
But this time, as you saw in his speech, he's like, "Yeah, well, you know, you're done. You're done. You don't have to come here all the week unless you're hurt. You got to come in.
Yeah.
You got to get your treatment, which obviously makes sense. He's like, you know, at least take a jog. You know?
Yeah.
Take care of yourself, but try to keep your cardio up. But yes, the players will be coming back on Monday for a bonus day, and then they'll have Tuesday off, and then it'll be like a normal week.
Right. And this particular week, there aren't any real coaches meetings, but the coaches are already working on game and getting the stuff done. And
yeah, they're here. Mm-hmm. They were here today.
Yeah.
Now, if you see the schedule on the TV, which I don't have up at the moment, the coaches' dinner available was from 4 to 5.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. I think they're working, but not necessarily burning the midnight oil.
Yeah, no. And that's good, too, because they get to recharge themselves.
What the coaches tend to do during the bye week a lot of the times is do a lot of self-scouting.
Yeah.
So they go, they really pour through the tape the last 4 weeks and really hone in on what's working and what's not working.
Yeah, and mainly because they're doing that is because other teams are looking at their tape, too.
Everybody
so
does it.
Everybody does it. So.
All right, this is Alexander in Brazil.
Oh, good.
Ahoy, salty ones. Hope this finds you both well. Great game and great timing for us to have a week off and healing. I have a rule question. With Baker being hit late after throwing a TD pass to Kate Otten, the Saints were penalized with 15 yards between downs. I thought those yards would be considered after their return, but as I realized later on, those yards were added before our kick. Kamara hit it from the 50 instead of our 35-yard line, which got me thinking that the penalty was ineffective, and it was a great deal for the Saints, who could have hurt our quarterback with a late hit. And he says, and speaking of a late hit, Lattimore got away with one on the sidelines hitting Mike. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he did.
Is this rule right in your mind, or was it an option the Bucs had? Since you did, thanks for reading. Mm-hmm. I do not believe the. I believe the only other option there is you can take half the distance. You could take half the distance before the kick.
Right.
But teams generally figure they're going to make that, and they take the 15 yards on the kickoff. I can't say I disagree, Alexander. It's not a particularly effective penalty.
Yeah.
We threw a touchdown pass on the play. Had it been an incompletion, then it would have been a very difficult penalty because it would have been half the distance and an automatic first down.
Right.
That would have been big.
Huge.
But in this case, we got the kickoff from the 50. So you can easily get a touchback if you want, but that's no different than most kickoffs. You could try the – I think we pooched it a little bit.
We did.
And got him around the same spot we would have got him anyway. So I agree. But you can't really say, okay, we're going to take it at the end of the kickoff return because what if they return it all the way for a touchdown?
Well, and they do have a pretty dangerous returner.
So I don't
think – They being Saints.
I support the idea of possibly a different rule here, but I don't think you can do it that way. And it may just be that that's kind of a fluky situation where it is what it is.
Yeah.
All right. This is from Elliot Lovejoy, the co-host at that radio show in –
New Zealand, Austria?
Australia.
Australia. He's a presenter.
Hey, gents. Hope you had a great week. Awesome win from the boys yesterday. We talked about your podcast and our show this week. Thought you might like to hear, and he attached a clip for us here. There's not really a way to make that work right here.
There
right?
is. How long is the clip? I mean,
Looking. I'm opening it now.
Yeah, open it and just tell me how long it is. A reason for it is I can drop it in when we get done here.
It's 2.5 minutes.
Okay. What I'll do is, that's okay. You can stop it. And what I'll do is,
you'll pick an excerpt from it.
I mean, I can even add the whole 2.5 minutes. I'll listen to it, but I'll dump it in. I'll do an edit.
Okay. I'll forward this to you.
Okay. Thanks. Triple X Rush
Hour. AB producer Luke, I think I've stumbled upon something that is potentially AB, your and my future. And you know what? If that is our future, I'm pretty happy with it.
Can it not be anything weird?
No, it's just us spending a lot of time together, potentially too much. So
you hate that. Why would you allow that?
Well, no, as in I could continue working with you for the rest of time because my paycheck's fat.
Is that the only reason?
100%. There's a podcast I listen to, and I don't listen to that many, but this one is my beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers over in the States.
Mm.
There's a podcast with them called The Salty Dogs, and it's a bloke called Jeff and a bloke called Scott that do this podcast, and I think they've worked together for, I want to say, 20 plus years, and you can hear the love hate in their voice. And every time I listen, I think, this is AB in my future. This is what it's going to look like in 20 years down the track.
Don't you think we're already there?
Well, that's what concerns me, right? Because these guys, as much as
taking a while to hate each other,
there's love hate and mainly love. We are there. So I'll send this audio to their podcast and they can answer it. Over the 20 years that pass and you and I are still working together, are we going to find that we actually end up loving each other more because of, I don't have a reason to insert here.
It's actually called Stockholm Syndrome. Right. We're trapped and we're forced to love each other.
So that's the same as Jeff and Scott.
Yeah.
I'm going to meet them when I go to the US.
Really?
So I'll get a photo of us in 20 years' time.
They're dudes, aren't they?
Yeah, but you're one of the boys. That's a compliment. Hey, that's the ultimate compliment you could get. You know that. If you get called one of the boys by a boy, that's the ultimate
just you
compliment.
Have to say not physically at the end.
Not physically.
Okay, thank you.
You're very
you.
Feminine in,
thank you.
In body, but in heart and soul, you're one of the boys.
Yeah, we love you, Abe.
You're
go a good
there
bloke.
At the end. This
shout out
weird.
To the Salty Dogs. Can we shout out another boy?
Yeah,
sure
totally.
We can.
I actually want to listen to it. Is it good?
Well, I mean, if you love the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, yes.
No, I'm Philly Eagles.
They will not be happy hearing yeah, okay. that. That's okay.
Sorry,
we'll
guys.
Send it to Jeff and Scott.
I can't go to the same team as you. Plus, your team won recently. Yeah. That would be like on yeah. the ultimate bandwagon.
Well, Philly's kind of bandwagon because they played in the Super Bowl last year.
They did.
I wonder yes. if they have a producer Luke on the Salty Dogs. I don't know.
Probably a silent producer like most producers are. I actually sometimes
you're a bit loud
don't know
for a silent
I'm,
producer.
I don't know why I'm here sometimes. You're like, we need you in the studio. I'm like, oh,
because
okay.
you do everything.
You hate yeah. coming in, though. It is very apparent. Yeah.
Okay, so that's cool. Really appreciate that. And we know we're going to get to actually see him. He's coming in for like the second to last game, maybe?
Yeah, I think it was a Christmas Eve game, wasn't it?
Oh, the Jacksonville game?
Jacksonville game. I thought that's what it was.
I'm forwarding this to you now.
Okay.
That's why there's a bit of...
Oh, that's all right. Plenty of time. No okay. worries. We can get it done.
All right. Moving on now. Actually, two more.
Okay.
This one is from Mark Rice, who's the guy in Arizona, mm-hmm. who told me that Guaidos doesn't exist anymore.
Yep.
Gentlemen, there are a lot of questions surrounding the Bucs heading into the season and some that still remain after 4 weeks. One question was answered this past Sunday, however, and he goes... We dat. You know, who dat, we dat. And man, that feels good.
Yeah.
Looking ahead to the remaining 13 games, I'd be curious to hear your off-the-cuff predictions for wins/losses. That's the only kind of predictions that Jeff does, by the way.
What's that?
Off-the-cuff. It's not like you're going to prepare for it.
Yeah.
Call me crazy, but I think we have a legitimate shot at finishing the season 13-4.
Wow.
Based on what we've been so far, and provided everyone stays healthy, knock on wood.
Wow.
Enjoy the bye and lead up to the throwback game. Thanks, Mark, in Mesa, Arizona. Okay, wow. I don't know if I'd call that crazy, but it is extremely aggressive.
Very aggressive.
Because I don't think we need to go through every single game.
No, but when you look at you're going to be playing Buffalo.
We're at Buffalo.
The 49ers at 49ers.
If you were to rank all three teams right now, Buffalo and San Fran would probably be two of the top three.
I would say.
And they are both on a road schedule.
But in fairness, though, the rest of the schedule, you don't really see world beaters. Now,
well,
you don't
Detroit.
Know,
well, Detroit's pretty
true.
Good.
That's
they're living
true.
Up to the hype.
No, they are. So you don't and you don't know who's going to be good and who's going to be bad later in the year. So there's that.
Yeah. Houston looked like a gimme. Now they look
no,
pretty,
they're
they
good.
Look pretty frisky now.
Uh-huh.
Indianapolis has done some decent things.
Yep.
Green Bay, they're not terrible.
Oh, they're not terrible. No.
Jacksonville
well,
is off to maybe a slower start than expected, but that game's in
oh,
late
yeah.
December. They might be rolling by then.
Sure. And, you know, you don't know the implications of playoffs
13,
at that time.
13-4 would mean we only lose three of the remaining 13 games. We'd have to go 10-3 the rest of the way.
Wow.
That's ambitious.
Very ambitious. But, you know what? If you don't dream, you don't get. So...
Well, I hope he's. I hope he's right.
I hope he's right. I hope we get to come back and go. Wow! Can you believe he predicted that?
We'll read it again if that
sure,
happens.
Sure, absolutely.
Mark Rice, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Okay. Finally, from Steven Larson from Amarillo, Texas,
uh-huh.
and I'm pronouncing it correctly because he made a point to tell me pronounce Amarillo, not Amarillo. Mm-hmm. Okay. I was listening to the podcast after the Philly game where you ragged on meetings. Just basically that meetings suck.
Yeah.
I thought you might like the attached, and it's an image. I don't know if you can see it from there. There's a, I guess those are otters.
Yeah, they look
oh,
like
yeah,
that.
Oh, yeah, in Otter News. it's a cartoon, and one of the otters with a green tie, his name is Brad, as it says on his coffee cup. He's holding up his hand, and then the other otter in a red tie is staring at him menacingly, and it says, the caption is, the meeting was clearly over, yet Brad kept asking questions. Steve's feelings were telling him to punch Brad in the face. So I'm Steve
yes,
in this scenario.
Yes, and I'm not Brad because
no,
I don't,
you're not Brad.
I don't ask very many questions.
There's some Brads here, though.
Oh, yeah.
There
oh,
are
yeah.
usually Ooh. Some Brads in our office.
And they're not named Brad in real.
I don't think we have. Well, Brad Berlin, yeah. but I'm not talking about
no,
him.
No, he's not a question guy. He's a he's a get a guy.
That's all our head equipment guy.
Okay, our Brads are get it done guys.
Who's the other Brads?
Let's see. Who is the other Brad? Well, maybe okay, just the equipment guy. He's so good, I think there's more of them. he's a get-it-done guy. You know,
like Levante?
Yes. If you have an issue, he makes it happen. I don't think there are any other Brads.
I was just going to quickly go
yeah,
down
no.
see if we got any other Brads.
Well, that book isn't very accurate.
This is pretty new, Jeff. This isn't last year's. He's talking about the media guide I'm looking at, which has a staff listing.
Right.
Which generally, a year later, you can be looking through it and say, well, that guy doesn't work here anymore.
Right. That's it.
There's a Barry. There's a Brett.
Yep. Yep.
There's a Beth. Yeah, I don't think we have any other Brads.
Right.
If there is, oh, yes, we do. We've already talked to him on this, this
yes.
podcast. Brad Idzik.
Yes. So there you go. Two Brads.
Two Brads. That's how much you need to hold up a picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's the last one.
Nice.
We've been talking for a while.
We have.
Thanks in part to our listeners who are doing a great job of keeping this conversation rolling.
That's actually the most fun I have with the listeners because they certainly, first of all, they take the effort to write, and that in itself means you're participating with us, and that's what we want. And second of all, I just like how it just out of random they come up, you know. I never know because I don't read the questions.
It's funny.
Sit here and wait for them.
It's sort of developing that there's a specific tenor to all the questions that's very – so, like, last week after the Philly game, a lot of the questions are like, I know that game, we lost it, but I'm not upset. Yep. I think we're still fine. And then this one, they're all like, I'm so happy we beat the Saints. I can't stand those guys.
No, that's – that.
The Rays are losing 4-0 now.
Yeah, and so are we – we will do a Salty Dogs next week.
We'll try to get a guest.
Yeah, we'll try to. That It'll probably be a little later, probably late Wednesday.
We haven't done Trey Palmer yet.
No, we have not.
I hear he's very entertaining.
He is.
All right,
we'll reach out to that. What else you got?
I'm done, Jeff.
All right, me too. Enjoy your bye week. Since you did.
Me too.
Since you did, thanks for listening.